WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day on the program. Another damp morning, but that's all right. It's gonna clear up later on, I guess, in time for the Raise the Roof party at Cisco Brewers for the Zeitarian. You can still get tickets at Zeitarian.org. $25 minimum donation, but you can also pay whatever you want if you want to give more money to be able to help fund the restoration of the sea. We'll talk more about that coming up. Also, later on this morning, we will have our South Coast Health Community Spotlight. We're going to be joined by Laura Stone of the Children's Advocacy Center of Bristol County. And we're going to find out about the great work that they do in helping children who have gone through some pretty traumatic stuff. So Laura will fill us in on all of that. Will fill us in on all of that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Also in the 7 o'clock hour, we will have today's edition of the Gen X Files. And you know, I'm thinking about this. I'm glad that we launched this segment. People like this segment. And of course, we love being able to tie it into our friends at McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. But when it comes to pop culture, like, it's kind of cyclical, well, kind of seasonal, I guess we'll say. You know, we're going to get a lot of big summer blockbuster films that premiered this month. And then, you know, next month might be kind of a little bit, I don't know, more music related. And then when we get into September, it's going to be like a lot of TV shows that debuted. So it really is kind of, it all depends on the time of year, what kind of pop culture news we're going to get each day. But I try to find a little mix, a little variety of things. Have some of the music hits, have some of the movies, things like that. So that'll be coming up after the 7:30 news. And of course, throughout the morning, we'll talk with you at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We also will have another pair of tickets to give away to see Cyndi Lauper in her Girls Just Want to Have Fun farewell tour, her final appearance in the Boston area, at least what should be her final appearance because it is the final leg of this farewell tour. That is happening on July 17th, and tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com if you want to get some tickets for yourself, but if you want to win some tickets, you can enter to do that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. That is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. So yesterday, you heard Mike Roberts mention this in the news. And, you know, I think police officers, law enforcement, they get a lot of flack from people, especially right now with all the ways that people are talking about what's been going on with ICE. But even beyond that, you know, you hear people that criticize the way that law enforcement officers do their job, and that's the thing. It's their job. In 99.9% of the cases, they do what they do because they're following procedure. But sometimes you get something that, you know, there isn't really a procedure for. Or at least, you know, something that you haven't had a lot of experience with. And that story that you heard him mention about the girl in Stoughton is a prime example of why I feel, and I'm sure a lot of you agree, that most law enforcement officers are just in this to help their community. And they're doing it because they want to give back, or they want to serve their friends and neighbors and protect them. And that's what happened in that particular case. So you can see the body cam footage at WBSM.com and in the app, on the app. And that's why, you know, it's a story that happened, you know, a week ago, but they cleared the footage before they released the information. You know, they have to make sure they blur out the girl and make sure there's no information in there and all that kind of stuff. But this was a case where they were able to successfully de-escalate a situation, and no criminal charges needed to come about from this. And I've talked before about how in the news business, there's a move towards something called compassionate coverage, where we are trying to not put people on display in the worst day of their lives just for clicks and for likes and for shares and for comments and for calls and all of that. You know, it's not about embarrassing people more than they've already been embarrassed. Which is why, you know, if someone gets arrested for buying drugs, you know, unless it's they're making a major purchase of something that's obviously for a trafficking ring. But if it's just a person who goes to buy some heroin because they have an addiction, we don't even publish their name anymore. We don't put a photo of them. That's a person that's dealing with addiction. We will always publish the photo of the person who sells it to them. If they're dealing large amounts of drugs. But generally, you know, we're trying to be a little bit more compassionate in the way we cover things. And so are the departments in the way that either they put out that information to us in the first place, or even the approach that they take. And, you know, maybe someday, or maybe when we get the new police chief in New Bedford, this could be a conversation with whoever the new chief may be. But I was going to say, maybe we can get, you know, Assistant Deputy Chief Scott Carolla to come in as someone who is the spokesperson for the department to talk about, you know, de-escalation and compassionate approach to dealing with people. Because we are in a mental health crisis in America, and not everything, even things that are criminal, don't necessarily have criminal intent. And so what happened with this young girl, who it turns out she has a mental disability. But the problem is from what I gathered from the details they provided, she's also a large girl. So she's, I think they said she's about 5'6" and 200 pounds. So it's easy to understand that somebody might have thought that this was an adult. And the original report that came in was that she had a knife and she was waving it at cars, kind of swiping at cars. That information turned out not to be accurate, according to the police, that she wasn't actually swiping at any cars or threatening anybody. But she did have a sharp object, which turned out to be one half of a pair of kitchen shears. And that's a dangerous situation when you have, and she was acting erratically. And as I mentioned, she has a mental disability. So when you've got someone in that kind of a situation, you've got to, you know, get that weapon out of their hand first and foremost. But also, that's a lot of things to be going on at once for a law enforcement officer to have to process and then respond to. So you're dealing with a situation where, you know, this person is not able to make rational decisions. Plus, they're also a kid. So in that regard, how much can they really you know, are they going to make the right decisions anyway? So that also becomes part of it. And this is all stuff that has to be made, all decisions that have to be made in an instant. And so these officers were able to de-escalate that situation and prove that, you know, not everything has to be reactionary. And you can see that if you watch the video. And they didn't, you know, they at least according to the story, they didn't say that there were no charges filed, but they didn't mention any charges filed because I don't really know what the girl did wrong. I mean, if she was walking around with a knife, sure, that's probably illegal. But I don't think walking around with one half of a pair of kitchen shears is a crime, especially whether they determined she wasn't actually threatening anybody with it. So, you know, kudos to those officers, and hopefully the young girl, whatever situation she was going through, she's gotten help with that. And let this stand as an example that not every situation has to have a bad outcome. Now, another thing we can discuss, we talked last week about the New Bedford Public Schools decision to require in the fall that students at the middle schools and the high school will have to use Yonder pouches. Rhode Island is now moving toward a statewide ban on cell phones in schools. I know there are some lawmakers in Massachusetts that would like to do the same. Others would rather keep it community by community to make their own decision. But now there are other things that are coming up as part of this that, you know, and I talked about this before when we discussed this, that technology evolves. And even when you're trying to stay a step ahead of the technology, are you already behind because the next generation of tech has come out? So part of this conversation is, okay, fine, you're going to have to go into school and lock your phone up in a Yonder pouch. What about your watch? What about your smartwatch? Now, I don't know if the Yonder pouches block signals. I don't know if they're essentially that's what I'm looking for, Faraday cage. And that they keep signals from coming in or going out. I don't know if that's the case. I don't think so. I think it's just a magnetic lock. So if that's the case, you'd still be able to access a good amount of the things that come in on that phone via your watch. I mean, if you use an Apple Watch or a Galaxy Watch or what have you, Fitbit, whatever, you know that, you know, you can get your text messages, your emails. You can check social media, certain social media apps. You can text, you can call. So now are they going to have to require kids to lock up their watches as well? And then on top of that, there's also smart glasses. And originally smart glasses were sunglasses. So you kind of knew, like, obviously kids aren't going to wear sunglasses in class. But now they have smart glasses that are just regular glasses. And you as a teacher, you don't know if the kid is wearing glasses because they need to wear glasses or if that's actually their screen. I don't know how many kids are walking around with, you know, $300 smartwatches and $300 smart glasses, but it's possible. Especially where now they're, you know, these cell phone companies are giving away watches with their plans to get people to utilize them more. So are we going to have to now move on to banning those as well? Are we going to have teachers checking glasses to make sure that they're real glasses and not smart glasses? 508-996-0500. Let me take my first break of the morning and we'll be back in a few moments.
New York and New Jersey gearing up for more traffic this summer. Retail sales fall last month, and say goodbye to artificial food dyes.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey says travelers using JFK International Airport this summer should anticipate heavy traffic and congestion. Director Rick Cotton expecting a record 18.3 million passengers to use the airport this summer.
This summer, we anticipate more than $200 million of construction activity every single month.
The Port Authority is urging drivers to use mass transit and the JFK AirTran to get to the airport. They're also telling drivers to allow extra travel time because of new traffic patterns. Cotton apologizing for the inconvenience, but says plans to build a new JFK that will be world-class and top quality. And he believes once the new terminals and roadways are unveiled next year, travelers will agree that it's worth the wait. General Mills says it's removing artificial colors from all of its U.S. products. The maker of Cheerios says it will remove the colors from its entire portfolio by the end of 2027. Synthetic food dye in cereals and food sold in schools will be removed by next summer. The announcement comes as Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been pushing the food industry to move away from using artificial dyes. Heinz also announced yesterday they will be removing synthetic dyes from their products as well. Retail sales fell sharply in May as consumers pulled back on spending. The Commerce Department says sales dropped nearly 1% last month. The decline follows a 0.1% dip in April. The declining gas and auto sales also leading the drop. The data comes as Federal Reserve officials began a two-day policy meeting ahead of today's announcement on interest rates. A new study suggests adding more fruits and vegetables to your diet could help you get some more quality sleep.
Researchers from the University of Chicago and Columbia University found that eating more fruits, vegetables, and whole grains could help you get better sleep. The study's co-authors say adjusting your diet could be a new and cost-friendly way to get better sleep. The study is one of the first to show what you eat during the day could change your sleep that same night. Researchers estimate that eating the recommended 5 cups of fruits and vegetables a day could improve sleep by some 16%. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
The CEO and founder of MyPillow is being found liable for defamation and must pay millions in damages. That's the ruling from a federal jury on Monday after Mike Lindell claimed Dominion voting systems and an executive rigged the 2020 presidential election. The jury ruled that Lindell and his media company, Frank Speech, must pay Eric Coomer more than $2 million in damages. The Beatles, The Next Generation, they're coming out with a new song.
I've made my point, yeah.
John Lennon's son Sean Lennon and Paul McCartney's son James McCartney joined with Ringo Starr's son Zach Starkey's band Mantra of the Cosmos. Starkey teased their collaboration ripoff over the weekend on Instagram. I'm Michael Kastner.
Elon Musk is suing the state of New York over its new hate speech law.
The Stop Hiding Hate Act, which became law last December, requires social media companies to disclose how they handle hate speech, racism, extremism, and disinformation. Musk, who owns X, formerly known as Twitter, filed suit in Manhattan federal court on Tuesday, claiming the act is a violation of state and federal laws guaranteeing free speech. The law goes into effect this week, with Musk hoping the court will block New York from enforcing it. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Chef and host on the Food Network, Ann Burrell, has died at the age of 55. The news was announced by the network, who says she died yesterday morning in her New York home. Burrell hosted Worst Cooks in America and also appeared on several other network shows dating back to 2005.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox lost to the Mariners in Seattle last night, 8-0. Those two teams back at it at 4:10 this afternoon.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Waking up to temperatures in the low and mid-60s in the South Coast this morning. Some patchy fog still around. The clouds still stubborn and even a couple of showers, too. So take it easy behind the wheel. Later this afternoon, things look a little bit better. We're in the mid and upper 70s as you head inland, right down to the coast, right as you get into the water. Temperatures hang around 70 degrees. Not too bad for this time of year, just a little bit shy of average. We are going to see the clouds stay pretty stubborn throughout the day, but the rest of the afternoon and evening should be a little bit drier. Still a stray shower or two, but that's about it. Now, Thursday is going to be more active with more heat and humidity as well. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Shalhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
You heard Mike Roberts talking about the Sons of the Beatles coming together for a new track. Well, that was the original Son of a Beatle song. That's Too Late for Goodbyes by Julian Lennon. That was released in it came out in 1984, but in America it was released in 1985. And I remember the first time I heard that, I was on the school bus going to elementary school, and I had recently acquired a Walkman, and I was listening to the radio on the Walkman, and that's when I heard that song. And I think a lot of folks, when they first heard it, if they didn't know that it was Julian Lennon, they assumed that it was John. It came out, you know, four or five years after John Lennon was killed in 1980. So, I mean, it was the end of 1980, and this came out the beginning of 1985. So, but that was a time when my aunt had a subscription. She's only, I think, 14 years older than me. So she's, you know, and she's kind of like a big kid anyway. Well, I shouldn't say big. She's also like 4'7", but she's kind of like a big kid. And so she used to get Dynamite magazine. Do you remember Dynamite magazine? She used to get that. And she saved all of her Dynamite magazines. So when I was, you know, reading about music and movies and all that kind of stuff, she's like, oh, check out all these magazines I've saved for the last couple of years. And I remember they had an article from around the time that song came out, or maybe even before, where Dynamite magazine was talking about a group called The Next. And it was going to be the Sons of the Beatles. It was going to be Julian Lennon. It was going to be, who else would have been around that time? Well, Zach Starkey. I don't know all of Paul McCartney's kids. I know that James McCartney, who was in the story that Mike was talking about, is 47. So I don't think at 7 years old he was going to be joining The Next. But I just clearly remember that. And I said, well, whatever happened to that? Why didn't that ever come? And for decades, they talked about, you know, what if the Beatle kids got together? But and they all know each other. They're all friends with each other. But here's what I find to be the interesting thing about this story that Mike shared. So again, it's Ringo's son, Zach Starkey, along with John Lennon's son, Sean Ono Lennon, and Paul McCartney's son, James McCartney. They're all teaming up on a song called Rip Off from Starkey supergroup Mantra of the Cosmos, which features Oasis bassist Andy Bell, along with Sean Ryder and Mark Berry of Happy Mondays. So here's the thing that kind of blows me away on this. Zach Starkey is 59. Zach Starkey is older than the Beatles themselves were when they were talking about the next. You know, it's hard to believe, but when they were talking about a next generation of Beatles, the surviving Beatles themselves were like in their 40s. George Harrison hadn't even released Dark Horse yet. They were far from, you know, far from being a washed up thing. They could have come back together at any given time. But anyway. And they did a few times. They reunited and made new music with, first after John's passing, with recorded parts of him, and then after George had passed with parts of him. So, I'm sorry, John and then George. I think I said that wrong. But I don't know. I mean, this is, I guess, kind of exciting, but has that ship passed? Has that ship sailed, I should say? Because in 1983, 84, 85, people were clamoring for a next Beatles. I think now they're just like, well, this is nice, but this isn't going to set the world on fire. In 1983, 84, 85, people were still processing not only the loss of John Lennon a few years earlier, but also still processing the loss of the Beatles. I mean, think about this. At that time, the last Beatles song coming out would have been 12 years before, thereabouts. So for us, that we're talking about something that would have came out in 2013. That's not long. That's not long at all. So it was still fresh in people's memories. And I always find it interesting that, you know, there's certain bands that people find at certain points in their lives. And it's almost like if you have this conversation with somebody you went to school with, they're like, yeah, exactly. But then you have the same conversation with somebody who went to a completely different school, maybe in a completely different state, but yet it's still kind of the same exact pattern. So like when you're in the eighth grade, you discover the Doors, Led Zeppelin. Probably the Beatles around then. Or but ninth grade, you definitely are into the Beatles. It's when you usually found like Boston and bands like that. 10th grade, everybody got into Steve Miller Band. Like these were like actual benchmarks that people said, yeah, that was around the same time I did too. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what sets that off, but I kind of followed that same pattern. Although I never really was too big into Led Zeppelin. And I did watch the documentary on Netflix, Becoming Led Zeppelin. Very interesting. And it certainly made me more appreciative of them as a group and of some of their music. I also thought we didn't need to hear the same song multiple times start to finish in that documentary. They could have either shortened it up a little bit or included some different information. And I think they also left the door open to have another part to it. But still, if you're a Led Zeppelin fan, definitely watch it. But if you're just a music fan in general, it's pretty well done. It's got a lot of great footage and a lot of behind-the-scenes stories. I pretty much will watch any music documentary. They always, I'm never disappointed by one. I always learn something, and I'm always fascinated to hear the behind-the-scenes stories. Anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. We'll take a break here and be back in a few moments.
It's going to take time. Oh, lot of precious
and welcome back in. There's little George Harrison because that's Jesse from Facebook's favorite Beatle. And mine as well. And also begs the question, why when these Beatles kids were getting together, didn't they invite Danny Harrison to be part of it? He's a musician. Maybe they couldn't work it out schedule-wise. Maybe they didn't want him. Maybe he didn't want to go. I don't know. But also, I did get corrected. I said, I don't think Dark Horse had come out. Tim, I think you're confusing Dark Horse with Cloud Nine. I totally was. Cloud Nine was the album I was thinking of by George Harrison, which is, you know, where that comes from. Back when I got most of my music videos, not from MTV, because I couldn't keep MTV on. My mom would say, no, we're not watching MTV all day. But from Nick Rocks. Every night at like 6 o'clock or 6:30, I forget what time it was on, but Nick Rocks on Nickelodeon, where they would have like a half an hour music video show. And you would see, I've Got My Mind Set on You, or Got My Mind Set on You. We'd see When We Was Fab. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I don't even want to tell you about the rabbit hole I went down this morning when I woke up. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I'm trying to gather some of the news stories, things that have been going on overnight, get caught up. Last night I went to bed a little bit early, so I might have missed some stuff. So I'm like just trying to get caught up. And I just happened to see on social media somebody commented, does anybody remember the Movie Loft on Channel 38 with Dana Hersey? And then that was just a whole thread into people talking about, oh, remember Willie Whistle? And, oh, well, I was more of a fan of Channel 56, and I watched Creature Double Feet. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm just, here it is. And people are sharing YouTube videos, and I'm just watching those. And I was about to comment and remember LVI as part of Living 56, but then somebody had shared the actual video of that, and I was like, man, this just took up most of my morning. But that's the stuff that I find interesting and fun. That's why I write stories and have interviews and guests talking about things like V66, and why I write articles like, who is better, Willie Whistle on Channel 38 or Bozo the Clown on Channel 56? It all depends on how scared you were of clowns, I guess, or how annoyed you are by the sound of a whistle. And then, you know, you get into arguments with people online about, no, Creature Double Feature wouldn't have shown that movie because Channel 56 didn't have the rights to those films. I am such a nerd that every time I wear my Creature Double Feature t-shirt that has Frankenstein on it, people say, oh, cool shirt. I remember Creature Double Feature. And I'll say, yeah, but what's wrong with this shirt? And they're like, and I say, well, Frankenstein is on it, and 56 didn't have the Universal rights. That was 38. 56 had, you know, the monster movies, the Godzilla movies. This would have been on Channel 38, not on 56. And then people walk away like, freaking nerd. Anyway, one more break here to take before the end of the hour, and that'll save me from my nerddom.
The same to me, love, 'cause I know what I feel to be right. No more lonely nights.
That might be my favorite Beatles solo song, though. That